A trip to the Adirondacks can bring blowing snow or bluebird skies all in the same day. And as 20 SEJers discovered in October 2006, there's human conflict here as well as natural contrast. Nancy Basilchuk reports.
Every year after the conference, hardy SEJers take on a challenging post-conference tour. Ours was the Adirondacks. Public radio reporter Julie Grant came from Ohio because she wanted to see some of the region's beauty.
I don't know, I thought on the canoes was cool today.
That's the sound of a Lake Placid hot spring. Okay, it's really the hot tub at the Golden Arrow Motel. But it's a perfect example of the 50-50 mix here of private development surrounded by protected land.
We're not talking about virgin wilderness in the Adirondacks. Most of the Adirondack forests, except for those at the highest elevations, were cut over at one time or another and have seen the mark of man. But the remarkable thing is they demonstrate that it is possible, in a sense, to recreate wildness in this world. And the many parts of the Adirondacks today are much wilder than they were 100 years ago.
Forever wild, that's the exact legal language that put more than a century of teeth into land protection and helped restore a ravaged ecosystem. But the Forever Wild law still allows people to work the land. Logger Bob DeShane Sr. started working the woods in 1943. He was 13.
I started out as a chore boy, but I was only a couple weeks when one of the men got hurt. They needed somebody who was a sawyer. They needed somebody to saw, so I went saw. So I was luckier than most guys that started in the woods.
These days, logging is largely gone, replaced by tourism. But year-round residents feel left out of the economic boom as people build second homes on land unrestricted by the Forever Wild law. The law may cause tension, but it also benefits wildlife. Bald eagles, moose, pine marten, and loons are all back now. These stories are what drew Smithsonian Magazine editor Ann Bolin.
Personally, I feel that our parks are living in the past. I think that our refuge system, especially historically, has been set up as potential hunting grounds. And I want to see how much influence do the non-game species have on those areas. And are we now, in fact, managing for non-game species as well as game species? Is that equal?
Local raspberry sweet potato pancakes, local cabernet, and local cabaret. Eat your hearts out. For SEJ, I'm Nancy Basilchuk.
Take me.